What is the biblical significance of Israel? We'll find out today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. This is Messianic Perspectives, the daily Bible teaching program sponsored by CJF Ministries in San Antonio, Texas. You can visit us online at cjfm.org. This is Liz Aiello. Today, our Bible teacher is John Cantor. John is speaking on the biblical significance of Israel as it relates to both history and prophecy, past, present, and future. I'll be back at the end of today's teaching with a special offer, so please stay tuned after John is finished. And now, with today's installment, here's John Cantor.
It's good to be with you as we continue our series on the biblical significance of Israel. So far in our study, we've looked at Israel's past, and the focus of our attention has been on the four unconditional covenants God made with the Jewish people. Today, we transition to Israel's present, and here we begin to see in greater detail the outworking of those four unconditional covenants. But before we begin, let's pray. Father, it's my desire that these next few minutes would not only be informational, but also transformational. May Israel and the way you are moving the world closer to Messiah's return become more of what we think about and long for. Use this time to ignite our passion to pursue and cultivate enjoyment of you, the true and living Lord. Persuade us to expend less energy in our chase for what we think will make us happy. Inspire us to channel more energy into soul-feeding reflection on your undeserved covenant love. And give us courage and skill to biblically respond to misinformed criticism of Israel and the Jewish people. And in our doing of life today, may we experience more of the Spirit's comfort than we did the day before. In the authority of the name which is above all others, we respectfully and humbly ask for these things. Amen. Our subject today, Israel's present, is radically God-centered. It revolves around what God is doing for and through His people. And the first thing we should note here is that God has retained Israel as His chosen/covenant people. Despite the fact that the overwhelming majority of Israel has rejected the Messiahship of Jesus, in Romans 11, 1 and 2, Paul is emphatic that God has not rejected His people whom He foreknew. And the proof of this is that Paul himself was a member of the believing remnant, a Messianic Jew. Even though Paul came from the small and sometimes despised tribe of Benjamin, God saved him. Plus, Paul adds that even though most Jewish people have rejected the good news of the gospel, the people of Israel remain God's beloved chosen people. Why? Because of the patriarchs, according to verse 28 in this chapter. It all goes back to the patriarchs, and that's a clear reference to the Abrahamic covenant. But then, as if that wasn't enough, in the very next verse, Paul categorically states that God's gifts and call to Israel are irrevocable. But here, we got to be clear. Being and remaining one of God's chosen people doesn't mean that you're automatically also one of God's redeemed people. When it comes to spiritual salvation, Jews are just like anyone else. The only way to take care of the sin problem and be in a right relationship with God is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Messiah alone, God's unique Son. This brings us to our next point. God is active today preserving and protecting the Jewish people. Now, according to Jeremiah 31, verses 35 through 37, if you really want to get rid of Israel, here's what you got to do. Stop the sun, moon, and stars from shining, plus measure all the heavens and foundations of the earth. If you can pull that off, bingo, no more Jews. To use the language of the text, only if those things happen will the descendants of Israel cease to be a nation before the Lord. So it looks like bin Laden has his work cut out for him, right? Seriously, though, the point of this passage is that man's evil is no match for God's sovereign and providential intervention. I remember visiting the Museum of Jewish Heritage in New York and reading some of the words posted on the displays in the exhibits. And I remember that the reason given for Jewish survival was the strength and resolve of the human spirit. Well, in all due respect, that's the wrong answer. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Again, it all comes back to this concept of chesed, covenant, love and loyalty, faithful to his promises, loyal in his love. Our third point concerning Israel's present is the fact that God is presently saving a remnant of Israel. And here, we direct our focus back on Romans 11. In verses 1 through 5, Paul maintains that God has not rejected his people. And to give some muscle to that statement, Paul presents Exhibit A, the doctrine of the remnant. His point is that God has always worked through a faithful minority, whether it's the Old Testament period or today. So even though most Jewish people reject Jesus, God in his faithfulness has preserved a remnant within Israel, a group of people chosen by grace who will believe. As Paul says in Romans 11:5, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Well, finally, with regard to Israel's present, God is restoring the Jewish people to the land of Israel. And first we should note that Israel will initially return to the land in a state of unbelief. To say that another way, collectively, as a whole, Jewish people will turn to God only after returning to the land of Israel. Listen to Ezekiel 36, verse 24. It reads, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land." Now listen to the next two verses. "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." My friend, don't miss the nature and order of these events. First, there's a national restoration of the Jewish people, followed by a spiritual restoration of the Jewish people. And we see that this progression aligns with history. In 1948, Israel was reborn as a secular non-religious state by secular non-religious Jews. This is the necessary foundation that sets the stage for the day when the entire nation turns to faith in Christ. Romans 11:26. But not only is restoration of the Jewish people to the land something that happens initially in unbelief, it's also something that happens in stages. Ezekiel 37 records a vision of a valley of dry bones. And in verses 6 through 10, these bones come to life in stages. First, there's the tendons on the bones, then flesh, then skin, and finally the breath of life. Then in verse 11, God tells Ezekiel that these bones represent all of Israel and that their restoration is a picture of the way God will bring his people back to their land. Verse 12. So the point is this, the regathering of Israel is not a single event. It doesn't happen all at once, but rather it's a process that culminates in the Jewish people receiving the breath of life by turning to faith in their Messiah. This restoration to the land also happens through persecution. In Jeremiah 16:16, God says that he will use fishermen and hunters to cause his people to go back to their land. These terms, fishermen and hunters, are metaphors for agents of persecution. And certainly, when we survey Jewish history from the birth of the modern Zionist movement to the present, we see numerous examples of anti-Jewish persecution being temporarily allowed by a holy, sovereign, covenant-keeping God. And while some of the purposes behind this are known only to God himself, at least on this side of eternity, we know in part that God has allowed and continues to allow persecution for the purpose of getting his people back to their land. Well, lastly, God is restoring Jewish people to the land to set the stage for end-time events. Daniel 9:27 speaks of a covenant between a future world leader and the Jewish people. And when Israel agrees to the terms in this covenant, the final string of events before Messiah's return are set in motion. Now, fulfillment of this prophecy, and many others set to take place during this time period, require a reborn state of Israel. You see, there has to be a reborn state of Israel for this treaty to be signed, for the temple to be rebuilt, for Jerusalem to be surrounded by the nations during the military campaign of Armageddon, and for Jesus to return and deliver the Jewish people from their enemies. So, since Israel has returned in unbelief, in stages, and through persecution, I believe that the modern state of Israel fulfills the predictions of the Hebrew prophets and sets the stage for things to come. I hope you'll join us next time when we complete our series with a look at Israel's future. Until then, shalom.
Thank you, John, and thank you, listening friends, for joining us here on the program today. It's always good to have you with us. We understand that John's teaching may well have generated more questions than answers. That's understandable. For that very reason, we encourage you to visit us online at cjfm.org, where you'll find links to additional resources about the biblical significance of Israel, as well as other resources. Again, our address online is simply cjfm.org. If you'd like your own copy of John's series, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for a friend, you'll be glad to know that it's available on compact disc for the suggested amount of $6. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. By the way, listening friend, has it been a while since we've heard from you? It's very important that if you're listening, please let us know you're out there. You know, almost every time we drop a station from our network, we receive letters from people who say, "Why did you drop our station?" But then we check our files and find out they never bothered to write while we were on their station. So don't wait until it's too late. If you enjoy the program, let us know. You see, we don't want to drop a station if people are listening and we're having a ministry in their lives. But if no one is listening, we can take those funds and go on a station somewhere else. The only way we have of knowing whether or not you're listening is if you tell us. So we'll look forward to hearing from you. Just drop us a line at Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. Or email us at info@cjfm.org. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as John Cantor continues his series on the biblical significance of Israel, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.